Okay, good morning, everybody. And I apologize, maybe I shouldn't make any apology, but the printing is very small and it's Ksavarashi, but we'll, for those of you who are unfamiliar, we'll translate everything, so don't worry. I have, the first two pieces are from the Beis Halevi, which are very special. Parshas Vayigash records possibly the most dramatic moment in the Chumash. Revelation that Yosef reveals himself finally to his brothers, very dramatic moment. And leading up to it, at the beginning of the parsha, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Yehuda asks for a private audience with Yosef. So the Beis Halevi asks in number one, Yesh Lomar Dihine Bechol Divrei Yehudekan Lo Matzinu Lo Bakasha V'lo Taina Chadasha. There's nothing new. There's no news in what Yehuda is saying to Yosef, as we'll see. Rak chazoros hadvorim bekotzer. He just, reviews in short form what he said already. You know, we went back to our father, and our father would die. You told us to bring us our younger brother, and our father's still alive. You asked us if our father's still alive, and he is alive. So mashaya b'nei mitchila v'ad achshav. There's no news. So why did he ask for this private audience? So the Beis Halevi says something really very beautiful. Va'inyim b'zeh dekol ta'aluchos ha'esek halaz hayanira be'enei Yehuda muzar u'muksha. It was all, the whole conversation was very strange. Remember, he had a interpreter. There was a meturgeman. Menashe, Yosef's son, was the interpreter, and the Yehuda would talk to the interpreter, and then Menashe, the interpreter, would go and talk to Yosef. But there was something very strange about the whole meeting, according to Yehuda. For example, Dikisha Amrlo, Kibo, Lishaver Ochel, Lishbor Ochel. We came to get food. Amar Lehem, his answer was, Meraglim Atem, you are spies. Ukeshe He Shivulo, Ki Kenim Anachnu, we're just innocent people. Amar Lehem, Hu Asher Dibarti, that's just exactly what I told you. See, you're proving my point. Meragli, Keomer, Ata Harayesh Hochacha Ki Meraglim Atem, you're just proving the point. Vekol Tahaluchot HaInyan, the whole discussion, Lohaya hateshuva me'ein hataina. The answer did not fit the question. Everything Yehuda would say or ask, Yosef would rebut with something that had nothing to do with what Yehuda said. V'hakol ba'alila below shum smach l'dvarav. Nothing related, nothing in Yosef's response to Yehuda related to what Yehuda said. So what did Yehuda think? V'ala v'das Yehuda. Listen to this. It's really kind of ingenious. De'ulai hameilitz asher beinehem hu hama'avat u'mekalkel b'zeh. Maybe the interpreter was not giving over to Yosef what he was saying. That Menashe, who was in between, the Yehuda would say something to him. Yehuda was not telling Yosef what he said. He was telling him something totally different. Va'omer liYosef dvorim acherim milibo. He would just make up things and tell Yosef what he wanted. Asher lo amrohe, things that asher lo amrohe, not things that Yehuda did not say to him. V'zehu shebikesh Yehuda lachzor al dvarav havikuach asher haya beinem b'ktzara. And that's why Yehuda decided, you know what? I've got to talk to him myself without the interpreter, because he's not getting the true message. This interpreter is messing me up. Va'amar lo yidaber na avdecha davar ba'ozne adoni. Let me please have a private audience with you. Let me say something by myself to you, so I can get it straight. Pirush below melitz beinenu. In other words, I don't want the interpreter here. Ki kamocha keparo, and that explains, says the Beis Halevi, why he says to him, ki kamocha keparo. You are like paro. What did he mean, Pirush? Kemosha paro mevin. Gam l'shonenu, just like Paro understands Lashon Kodesh, Hebrew. Kain gamata mevin. You also must understand Hebrew. Ubo dvar beremes, but he hinted it to him. Deim tomar, as if you want to say, da'ata eno mevin. If you don't understand Hebrew, yehi ahechrech lomar de gam paro eno mevin. You can't to say that you don't understand Hebrew means you're going to say that Paro doesn't understand Hebrew. And that's insulting. Vezehu davar sha'asul lahotzi al piv. You can't say such a thing. You can't say that. So that's why he says to him, al paro she'eno mevin. Loshna Kodesh, Vahabaru Mizot, Dvarav. That's so he shows you how this was handed to. So that's a very ingenious comment of why he asked for a private audience. Now, this next Beis Halevi is a classic, and it discusses that dramatic moment when Yosef Yehuda is again talking, and finally Yosef. First he goes out, he just goes out of the room, and then he's so emotional, and he comes back, and Yehuda makes his final plea, you've got to let us take Binyamin back. If we don't take our baby brother back, our father, who is alive, you ask us, our father's alive, and he'll die without Binyamin. He'll die without Binyamin. So, you know, it's interesting, just as an aside, that the Ibn Ezra comments that Yehuda's whole concern is that Yosef will not survive without his son Binyamin. Binyamin was not a youngster, the Ibn Ezra says. Binyamin already had 10 children. So why didn't he say that Binyamin's children will suffer if Binyamin doesn't come back? So he really says, and I think this is the origin, there's an expression in Yiddish. Those Yiddish-speaking people here, there's an expression in Yiddish that ein Vater can aushalten sein Kinder, aber sein Kinder kann nicht aushalten ein Vater. Right? One father can take care, can support 10 children, but 10 children can't support one father. And essentially, that's what the Ibn Ezra says. Children, you know, okay, so they'll miss their father, but it's not going to devastate them so much, but a father to lose his child, which relates, by the way, and we're a little bit on a tangent, but it's worthwhile to say, that the love that a parent has for a child, we all know, is much stronger than the love that a child has for a parent. Where does that come from? So there's an ingenious interpretation of this notion from Rav Meir Yechiel Meostrov, the Ostrov's Rebbe. And he says like this, he says that Adam was born without parents. He was created. So in genetically, we human beings, the human condition, is genetically orphaned. We were born without parents. From if you go all the way back to Adam Arishon, to Adam, we are orphans, genetically, emotionally, psychologically. We don't have that relationship genetically. But from the very beginning, we parented children. So the relationship as a parent, we have from the very beginning of creation, that emotional attachment, that intimate sense of love for children existed at the very beginning, at the genesis of our creation. So the Ostrovster says, that's the pshat, that the love that a parent, Rabbi, welcome. There's a sheet over there, and if you'd like to give the shiur, please. It's the one you prepare. You prepare the sheet. So therefore, the love that a parent has for a child is infinitely stronger because innately, naturally, from Bereshit, from the genesis of our creation, we are parents. But the love that a child has for a parent, we have to work at it because it's not natural. It's not there naturally. So, you know, you can have a situation where a little child will have a fight with the father, will reprimand him, or the mother will reprimand him or her, and the kid will go into the room and slam the door and say, I hate her guts, right? Of course, 10 minutes later, the child starts to feel guilty, blah, blah, blah. But a parent will never say such a thing, unless there's a sickness, right? A parent will never go that far. So that really relates to this notion, and that's, going back to the Ibn Ezra, that's why he says, you know, he asked the question, why wasn't Binyamin, you know, why? What about Binyamin's children? Why is Yehuda so concerned about Yosef? So that's the answer, Ibn Ezra says, that the love that a parent has for a child is not as deep as the love that a child has for a parent is not as deep as that of a parent.
Yes, I have the Machteres.
Boba Materas.
Lab al Benoi, and Benoi al Lab.
Right, good, good. Welcome, right. Good.
The son will kill the father.
Right, good. We won't hesitate to kill the father. Excellent. Okay, so now this Beis Halevi talks about this great dramatic moment. It's probably the most famous comment of the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi is Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, the great-grandfather of Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, who was in our generation. Okay, so this is really beautiful. And really what's bothering him, the first thing that's bothering him, when he finally can't take it anymore, Yosef, he sends everybody out of the room, and he reveals himself, and he says, Ani Yosef, ha'od avichai. I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? So the first question that he's going to deal with here is, what's going on? How many times did Yosef ask him if his father was still alive? But what's he say? Again, nachamo, once again, right? Od pam. I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? So that's the first thing he's going to deal with. So listen well here, and I apologize again. It's lengthy, but it's worth it. Ani Yosef ha'orevichai. Lo yachlu echav la'anot oto. His brothers couldn't answer him. Ki nivhalu mipanav. Nivhalu mipanav, they were like aghast. Again, this is troubling the Beis Halevi also, because nivhal, to be nivhal, is a verb that really is used when someone gives you musr. When someone ranks you out, when someone is critical of what you've done, you're nifhal. You're aghast. You can't answer him. It's not just that they were shocked. Nifhal is not just that they were shocked that he revealed himself only to the sea. Hine v'pasuk zeh yesh lehit bonein bo harbe. There's a lot of questions here. Echad, number one. Dehari kol divrei Yehudei lav bevikucho im Yosef ata hayorak she choshesh litzaro shel aviv. Until now he was... His whole discussion with Yosef was, he was busy with the fact that my father is going to be in tremendous pain. You can't do this. So the whole discussion was about a living, breathing father, that Yaakov is alive. Ukemo she'amar lo, ki eich, just like he said to him, eich ele alavi, how can I go back to my father? Va'anar einenu, and einenu itano, and Binyam is not with us. Va'anar, right? So now, Yosef, when he reveals himself, says, is my father still alive? Well, what's going on here, right? Is Yosef not listening? V'gam, tahare tekev be'et bi'atam pam sheni l'mitzrayim. The second time they came to Egypt, shalem ha'shalom avichem, hazake. First thing he asked them, right? How's your old father? Asher amartem ha'odenu chai, who you said is still alive. V'heim he'shivulo. He's alive. V'halo me'az ba'a Mitzrayim od lo nasu mizeh u'ma makom yesh l'shalom achshav sheni. So what's he asking again? Is my father alive? V'od yoter, more than that, ki im titachein ha'she'ela madu lo nemar ha'tshuva al zot ha'she'ela ma anu lo echav al zot ha'she'ela. What did they answer? Right? Where's the answer? So now, he quotes a medrash, and this medrash is also going to bring out some questions about this episode, and everything will eventually be tied in. So be patient. Let's see the medrash. The medrash says on this verse, Amar Abba Kohen Bardala. This rabbi Abba Kohen Bardala said, Oy lanu miyom hadin, oy lanu miyom hatochacha. Woe to us after 120 years for the day of our judgment, and woe to us for the day of our rebuke, when God judges us and God rebukes us. He's referring to what? Yosef HaKatan Shel HaShvatim. Yosef was the youngest of the tribes. Lo yachlu echav la'anot oto. The brothers couldn't answer him. Ki nivhalu mipanav, because they were taken aback. L'kishe yavo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when God will come v'yochiach l'kol echad l'fi mashehu, when God will come after 120 years and rebuke us according to each and every one of us individually, right? And he brings a verse to prove that. Alachat kama v'kama. Somehow this idea is going around this confrontation, this meeting, this revelation between Yosef and Yehuda. V'kfar dibru rabim levayer zehav medrash v'kavanato. A lot of attempts have been made to explain this comment of the rabbis in the medrash. Gam yesh lahavin. We have to understand hatochacha shehayat kan l'shvatim. What was the tochacha? This rabbi Abba Kohen Bartle is saying that at this moment, Yosef is giving them rebuke. He's judging them and giving them rebuke. When he says, Ani Yosef ha'adavichai, I am Yosef, is my father still alive? Where's the rebuke? Where's the rebuke? Again, as we said, Nivhal is a response to being put down. He's putting them down. He's rebuking them. He's right? He's being mochir them. Shaykhan l'shvat, where is it? Rak nivhalu, maybe nivhalu miahoda ha'pitomit, shelo ala ha'datam klal shezel Yosef. Maybe the nivhal, the aghast response was because they didn't realize it was their brother Yosef. So they were taken aback that it was Yosef. Maybe that's what it was. Gam yesh lavin, we also have to understand, ma shechalak ha'medrash l'shnayim, the medrash divides into two what's happening. Amar oy lanu miyom ha'din, oy lanu miyom ha'tochacha. Woe to us for the day of judgment, woe to us for the day of rebuke. Mahu din u'mahu tochacha. What's the judgment and what's the rebuke? V'gam shari dvarim ha'medrash sheherich b'lashono. The whole medrash is strange. V'amar l'kishayavo ha'kodesh baruch hu v'yochich l'kol echad l'fi ma shehu. God will come and judge everybody, each person, according to his own scenario and situation. He quotes a verse. Yesh l'havim omro l'fi ma shehu. What does that mean? Gam mahu arayim in ha'pasuk. What's going on here? Okay? So let's see. He starts to develop these questions. Ve'es asher nira b'zeh da'amedrish mefaresh the pasuk zeh lo amru Yosef begeder pius la'achiv klal. Yosef is not appeasing his brothers here. Let me tell you in my words, the big news from this Kiddush of the Beis Halevi. When he says, Ani Yosef Arvichai, he's not saying, I'm Yosef. Is my brother still alive? He's saying, what a chutzpah. You tell me you can't go back to your father without his little son. Ani Yosef, remember me? I'm Yosef, it was also his little son. And you went back without him, without me. Ani Yosef, ha'odavichai, isn't father still living after my situation? He'll live also after Binyamin's situation. What kind of an answer is that to me? Beautiful. I'm just putting it in my words. That's what he's going to say now. The Teda. The Acharkach, b'ha'pasuk ha'sheni, in the second verse, Achar Shemiv Halumi Panav, when they were aghast, Amar Lehem Sheni, he says again, Ani Yosef, Achichem, I am Yosef, your brother, he's Kir Lehem Achva. But right away after that, he then speaks to them lovingly. Shuhora Lehem Sheohevotam. He shows to them that he loves them. Umechashvim Laachim. And he considers them his brothers. Right away, right afterwards. The Pasuk HaRishon, the first verse, Lo Amar Lehem Rak Ani Yosef. I'm Yosef. Says nothing about his brotherly and fraternal love for them. Lehem Yosef. When he tells him he's Yosef, lo lehem shum pius. Rak adirab. This was not appeasement. Od nito seif lehem yira bepachad. He shook them up. He shook them up. Lehem, when he said to them, shezeh ha'ish hanilchami mahem adata umevakesh alehem alila bechinim hariu Yosef. I'm the guy that's been with you all these times, giving you trouble in Mitzrayim. Shagamu lo ra, the one who you treated so negatively. Vehein ata naflu biyado, and now you fell into my hands. Ubiyecholaso la asos behem viritzona, I could really do what I want with you. Ubevadai lefi hasechel, nakam yinakein, he could really take revenge against them. Vaharigam achakach, kishekfar, Ra'u tov libo alim. Even later on in the parsha, when they see that he really loves them and everything is good, umikol mokum kishemet Yaakov. At the end of the sefer Bereishit, when Yaakov dies, what does it say? Chazru li pachei mimenu. They were still afraid of him. Well, after Yaakov died, va'amru ulai yistemenu Yosef va'ashev yashiv. Maybe now that Yaakov died, maybe now he's only nice to us while Yaakov was alive, but now that Yaakov died, perhaps, you know, he's not going to treat us so nicely anymore. Va'afki ata bevadai, the nafal ha'pachad aleihem. They were afraid. Va'alkein nityaru v'nivhalu mipanav. So now they're afraid. This is Yosef. He could really take revenge on them. And that's what he said to them. V'lo yachol anoto, they couldn't answer him. V'gam masha amar lehem, and this is it. Ha'od avi chai, is my father not alive? Gam came mefarish ha-medrash, d'lo haya begedu she'ela klal. It wasn't a question. It was rhetorical. U'kemo shekatavnu l'mayla. D'lo haya makom l'she'ela kazu. There's no place for this question now. Rak hamedrash mefaresh le shu begeder, you know, plia, you know, he hit them with this. I'm Yosef. Is my father not still alive? You did the exact same thing with me. V'amar lem b'loshim tamir. Ani Yosef, last column. Ani ha'or avichai. B'tamir. V'omer, eini maven, heich yachol avi lachyot adata merov tzaro. She'eni yodei mimeni adata. How could my father stay alive after everything that you put him through? All the things he was not seeing all these years. U'kidvarib elum. Nitman beremes. This is all hinted here. Sheila gedola lehem, and this great question, v'gam stira al kol ta'anotav shel Yehuda b'vikucho, and all the contradictions in his discussion with Yehuda, the kol ta'anotav shel Yehuda, all of Yehuda's pleading, his plea bargaining, haya mitzaro shel Yaakov, was, you know, you've got to do this for the pain of our father. Sheyigrom lo b'lekichato et Binyamin, when you took Binyamin. V'im kein hari kasha aleim madua lo chashashu heim letzaro shel aviyem l'machar liyosef. Why didn't you feel this way? You know, you're checkmated on this because you didn't do this. This argument is very specious because you didn't have this concern with me. And we'll see how this ties into the medrash in a minute. V'gam di'im yachol lachyot b'lo Yosef kein yiyah yachol lachyot b'lo Binyamin. If he was able to live without me, he could live without Binyamin. Vizehu, Achareshi Dila Lefanav Godel Harachmonis, he showed them mercy. Shalavim Kishiyikach Mimenu Beno Avo. Sidir Lehem Maisa Atzma, Venivhalu. So now they were aghast. Okay, now go to the next paragraph. Viz, now let's understand this medrash. Now let's understand what the medrash is talking about. Vizehu Shesayim HaMedrash, Lekishiyavo Kodesh Boruchu, when God comes to judge us, Vyochiach Lekol Echad Lefi Mashahu. That he'll judge each and every person. It won't be like, you know, one size fits all. But every person is going to be judged according to his own circumstance. Dikdek va'amar lefi mashahu. The gam b'yom hadin, on that day of judgment, yia torecha lekol echad mima'asav al ma'asav. Person's going to be judged on his actions. V'yu ma'asav nitfasim mima'asav. And he's going to be caught in his actions. He's going to argue with God, but he's going to question you on something in the past. For example, he says, "Hey, Chaim Sokrim Zetze, you're going to show contradictions in your plea to me." God says after 120 years, "Da al kol avon v'cheit mipnei atzmo sover adam sheyesh lo k'tzat teretz." A person feels he did a sin. He's going to have a teretz. You know, listen. He says, "Dahari." Everybody, you know, we all see ourselves as being innocent. The mashal, for example, mishenu natein tzedaka, person doesn't get tzedaka. Sover bedaito sheyesh lo teretz, I have an answer. Kovid v'dochek haparnosa, was hard to make a living. V'ribu ha'etzdarchu shel ha'chrechius mibnei beso, I have to take care of my own family. I've got to support my family. You know, I've got excuses why I didn't give tzedakah. You know, I couldn't spend the money, right? Shein b'koch lefazer alachem. I didn't have enough money to go around for everybody. I had to support my own family. Vinei, dein zeh teretz maspik, not enough. Why? Because God is going to show you, and I'll just finish this in my own words, God's going to show you, you know, you didn't have money now for tzedakah, but you remember 10 years ago when you went to Las Vegas? And you went to a 5-7-star hotel in Las Vegas, and you gambled away $10,000. So, you know, that's what it means, that each person will be judged according to his own actions. Each person will be judged according to his own actions, and that's why it's Yom HaDin. It's a judgment, and it's also tochacha. It's also reproof, because this is the tochacha. That, and this ties in with Yosef and Yehuda. So when Yehuda comes in time, is Ani Yosef, how can we go back to my father, and he's going to die if he doesn't have Binyamin. If you keep Binyamin, Yosef can't bear it anymore, and he says, Ani Yosef, meaning, I am Yosef. What kind of a chutzpah? That time is no good. You did the same thing with me. That's how the Medrash ties in. That Yom HaDin, it's their judgment, but it's also Yom HaTochacha. And that's why it says Nivhal, that they were rebuked, and of course immediately afterwards he embraces them. So that's the Beis HaLevi, a brilliant interpretation of a very strange passage, because the question makes no sense otherwise. why he should ask for the umpteenth time, is my father still alive? Okay, number three is the Torah Tamimah. And it actually relates back to something that the Torah discussed a few weeks ago with regards to the favoritism to Yosef, and we see that it crops up again in this parsha. Remember, Binyamin, Yosef had a coat of many colors, right? And we were troubled by that. We talked about it a few weeks ago. So here we go again. Yosef, lechulam, the Torah says, lechulam nasan leish chalifos malos. He gave everyone new clothes. Gave all the brothers, he outfitted all the brothers with new clothes. Ule Binyamin, nasan shlosh meos kesef, v'chamesh chalifos smalos. So each brother got a new suit, and Binyamin got 5 new suits and 300 shekel, right? 300 shalosh meos kesef, right? So you see the Torah Tamima in the third paragraph, you see it says v'chamesh chalifos smalos. The Torah Tamima is now quoting our oral tradition. It's a passage in the Talmud and the Gemara and Megillah. V'chi efshar, is it conceivable? Davar shenitzta'er bo, oto tzadik ichashel bo. The same, here we go again. It's deja vu, all over again, right? Amar Binyamin. In other words, he got this favoritism of getting the coat, and now he's doing it again. He's giving Binyamin 5 suits, and he's giving him 300 shekel, and the brothers are getting 1 suit, and they're getting no money. Sha'atid latzeit, so he says to the Medrash, the Gemara says, what's the reason for this? Remez ramazlo. There was a hint that was being given to Binyamin. Who came from Binyamin? Mordechai. Mordechai, in the Purim story, came from Binyamin. Sha'atid latzeit mimenu ben. Eventually there will come a child from the tribe of Binyamin. She'etze milifnei ha-melech b'chamisha levushei malchut. Who will be wearing 5 big day malchus, 5 kingly clothings. Shenemar, Mordechai yatsa melifnei ha-melech b'levush malchus tcheles v'chur v'ateres av gedola v'tachrich botz v'argamon, as the Megillah Esther says. So this was a hint. Binyamin, I'm giving you these 5 were being given to Binyamin. You should all know this is a hint, a prophetic hint, that there'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy here, that Binyamin will be wearing, his descendant, Mordechai will have 5 articles of clothing. So now look, the Torah Tamima in Vav, the second line of the Torah Tamima. I apologize for the size here, but your eyes are probably even better than mine. You'll have less trouble than I will. So let's try to go through this.
This only answers the number 5, not the 300.
Oh, so 1 second. He's going to get to the 300 also. Correct. So let's see how he answers both of these questions, right? Why did he get 5 articles of clothing? And why did Binyamin only get 300 shekel and the other brothers didn't get any money? So the Torah Tamima says, first he quotes an answer from the Vilna Gaon. V'hakavona, the understanding here is, the kivin diyodo, shekol michshol, sinat ha'achim elav. The whole hatred that the brothers had towards him. V'chol ha'sibot, Hamaorot sheyotzu mizeh, haya bishvil Yisron beged echad sheasalo Yaakov leachav veachav kinubo. We all know that the hatred that the brothers had for him was because of that one article of clothing, that ketonis pasul, that coat of many colors that only he got and not them. Ukimavur v'yashav v'asalo ketonis pasul v'yisnu also, and they hated him. So. Amar im kein eich nasan hu yitron begadim levinyamin veloch shash mishum kina. How could he do that? How could he give him? That's our first question, right? How could he give him 5 articles of clothing? So he's going to answer this. You might not be satisfied with these answers. It's kind of drush. It's kind of a homily. But he himself says that at the end of the Torah Tamima. But it's a very nice answer. Ayin b'sefer Shnos Eliyahu, this is the Vilna Gaon, Lagra, b'likutim, hikshe daha hadrakush l'dukta. So we got the question, dafal pikein, hitil kina ben achim, even though there's an answer, okay, there's a reason for the five begodim, to tell you this prophetic hint that Binyamin's descendant, Mordechai, will have five articles of clothing, but still, he got five articles of clothing, and they got one article of clothing. So says the Grav, Ritzon Lamar, Dehem lo yadu shebishvil remez azagin. They don't know about the remez. All they want to know is, why did he get five coats and I got one coat? But it was obvious that there was a difference, he says, the Gon says, V'tiritz, Dehachamesh chalifos begadim shel binyamin hayu geruyim mishel ha'achim. V'hayu, what's that word? I can't even read it myself. V'hayu hayu shavim bedamim kechalifas bigdeha achat shel ha'achim. In other words, Binyamin got five Walmart suits, Kmart suits. The brothers each got an Armani suit. So each of their suits was worth five of the suits that Binyamin got. Binyamin got five suits, cheap suits. So the brothers saw right away that his suits were inferior. So there had to be some kind of a lesson there. So they were mephias, they were appeased by that, they got a nicer suit. He got five cheap suits, but we got an Armani suit, right? He got five suits from Woolworths, or whatever the equivalent is today where you get cheaper suits, okay? I don't know such places.
Hat box,
okay. Okay, now what about, Montel, what about the second question? First he says, I want to show you a proof from this from Rishonim, he says. This is the Torah Tumimah talking. In Mashikasav Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Kisetze, he says he first brings a Medrash. The Shnei Luchot Ha'edut, the two Luchos Ha'edus, the two tablets of the Ten Commandments, Hayushavim Ke'echa, they were together like one. They were in one piece. There were two pieces which were together. Mishum Dichsiv Luchat Chaser. It says Luchos, we read Luchos, but it's written without that other Vav. So it's written Luchas, right? So it's chaser. Something is missing. They're not two complete tablets. They're kind of one because that vav is missing. V'im kein hacha. So here too. B'chalifos. This is kind of ingenious. Actually, I think this is still the Gra speaking. Im kein hacha b'chalifos smalos shel ha'achim. When it talks about the suits of the brothers, k'siv chalifos malei b'vav. It says chalifos with the two vavs. The word chalifos is a full word, meaning better suits. Chalifos smalos shel Binyamin ksiv chalifas. When it says the five of Binyamin, it says chalifas. There's something missing from the word of chalifos. There's a vav missing. There's something inferior about the suits of Binyamin. Interesting. Below vav, v'yesh lomar, the boler ameis, this is coming to hint, shahayu kulam be'erech shavui beged echad shel ha'achim. That all five of those suits were really worth the one suit that each of the brothers got. V'rak hayu b'mischar chamesh letachlis haremes. So they were. Why were they five? That already is for the hint shiramazlo, that they were the five articles of clothing that Mordechai wore the dovah kasha. That's the grub. So now he continues. V'hini hamar shah. But other rabbis ask the question, "Lama lo hikshu b'gemor?" Why don't the rabbis in the Talmud ask, "Eich lo chashash Yosef lekina?" Why wasn't he worried about jealousy? B'mash natan leBinyamin shlosh meor kesef, that he gave Binyamin $300 and he didn't give the brothers anything. V'tirutzam eino marviach klo. I haven't seen a good answer. So v'li nirus, I want to suggest an answer. Leva'er, says the Torah to Mima, al pikusha zu divi Rabbeinu Bachya. So here he's quoting the Rabbeinu Bachai, one of the Rishonim. V'parsha zu, hastumim utumui ma'od. V'zeh l'shono, and I quote, here's the Rabbeinu Bachya. Ule binyamim natan shalosh meyot kesef. He gave Binyamin 300 shekel. Tam shalosh meyot kesef. Why 300? Why did he give, where did this come from? What's the source of this? This is a little bit of an ingenious interpretation he gives. Neged ma shahayu ha'achim chayavim b'mechirato. The brothers were halachically obligated for selling Yosef into slavery. There's a price to be paid, according to the Torah, for selling someone into slavery. Ki, eser pa'amim shloshim shkalim, 10 times 30 shekel, shehem demei eved, the value of a servant, heim gimel meos, is 300 shekel. Vizeh mimash amru, and this is based, again, on a comment in our oral tradition, in the Gemara in Gittin, where the Talmud says, hamocher avdo le'ovid kochavim, if someone sells his servant to non-Jews, konsimoto ad asara b'damav, we fine them 10 times his worth. So the worth of the eved is 30 shekels. 10 times to 30, you do the math, not complicated math even for me, is 300 shekels. So that's what each brother was obligated to pay, 300 shekels for selling Yosef. Kiloma, in other words, b'demei ha'eved shehem shloshim, the value of the eved, which is 30, ukemivur b'mesechus, as the Torah explains. Vehine, tachlis hadvarim, the purpose over here, mechusar bir, what does he mean? What does that mean over here? What does that have to do with Binyamin? So now he says, v'nira d'achi pirushim, so let me explain what's going on. D'min ha'din, technically speaking, hayatzar kol echad me'achim, nitan Yosef shalosh me'ot kesef. Yosef should give each of them 300 kesef. If he's giving money away, he should give all of them. Kefi ha'cheshbon ha'mavuar. Ach, lo lakach zemihim. They should rather be giving him 300 shekel kesef, right? So what happened? Ach, lo lakach mihem. He didn't take it from them. V'im kein, havikeilu hu natan lekol echad gimel me'ot shekel kesef. By not taking the 300 shekel kesef. In other words, each brother was obligated to pay 300 shekel kesef. That's the fine that the rabbis impose upon someone for selling an eved. You sold an eved to non-Jews, you pay 30 times 10 is 300. I'm not imposing that upon you. I'm giving you the 300 by not taking it from you. But Binyamin, as he concludes, who was not born yet, he was not involved in this, he gets the 300 shekel. Binyamin gets 300 shekel, you also get 300 shekel. How do you get it? I moichel you, that you don't have to pay me the 300 shekel, so I'm not taking it from you. That's the explanation. Ingenious explanation. That's the Torah to me.
But Reuven wasn't there when they sold. Reuven wasn't at the selling.
But he was still
part of the plan.
He was still part of the plan. We know he was part of the plan. I mean, Asara Hayu, also Maimon, the Gemara says. Okay, the last piece, I don't know if we'll be able to get through the whole thing, but this is from Rav Nissen Alpert, who we have seen before, who was, as we had pointed out in past years, Shiurim was a Talmud, the Talmud Muvak of Rav Moshe Feinstein and a Rosh Hashiva in Yeshiva University, and he was taken from this world much too young. And he has an interpretation on another well-known moment in the Parsha, when Yaakov sees the wagons, he sends the brothers back, quickly go back to my father, tell him I'm alive, tell him I'm the, you know, president of Egypt and so on, and bring him back here. And as soon as everything they tell him doesn't mean anything, but, you know, when he sees the wagons, so he is appeased, because we'll see now what that's all about. Some of you might remember. V'agidu lo lemor, they said to him, od Yosef chai, Yosef is still alive, they tell their father. V'chi hu moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. So, first of all, just a question that he does not discuss, but does he really care that he's Moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim? That he was the president of Mitzrayim? You know, he's alive. Ki Yosef, od Yosef chai, that Yosef is alive, and he's the president. You know, like, you know, your son is alive and he's a doctor, you know? Okay, I mean, you know, we laugh about those things. But really, did Yosef really care that he was the president? So there's actually a beautiful interpretation of this. When Rav Yosef Chaim Zinsheim, who was the head of the, you know, that Napoleon, a little bit of history, Napoleon demanded of the Jewish community to establish a Sanhedrin in Napoleon's time. And the Jews were forced to establish a Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin was a group of rabbis and communal leaders who were going to be the leaders of the Jewish community. It wasn't a real official, the official Sanhedrin, but the rabbis had to comply. And the head of this Sanhedrin was Rav Yosef David Sinsheim. Now, a rabbi in that position, you know, he's like the city rabbi, he's he's the head of the Sanhedrin, so the real religious community would look askance at such a person, that maybe he's not a real Torah scholar, he's not a Talmud Chacham, he's involved with Napoleon, he's kind of some kind of a modern reform rabbi, that he's involved in such a thing. But the truth is, Rav Yosef David Sinsheim was a massive Talmud Chacham. In fact, he wrote a commentary on one of the tractates of the Talmud on Psachim that is you cannot learn that tractate, you cannot study it without his pirush. And the Chassam Sofer, when he died, the Chassam Sofer, who was the leading rabbi of the generation, he eulogized him. And in eulogizing him, he asked this question that I just asked you. It's in the drushes of the Chassam Sofer. He asked this question, Yosef really cares, Yaakov really cares whether Yosef is the president of Egypt or not? What's that all about? So no, he says, listen carefully. They told him first, Od Yosef Chai. Yosef, the Yosef that you remember, it's the Od Yosef Chai. He didn't change his name. He didn't change his personality. He didn't change his focus. Yosef, who left you, learning Torah with you, being prepared for greatness spiritually, Od Yosef Chai. He's the same Yosef. Even though Kihu Moshe b'Mitzrayim, even though he is the president of all of Egypt, it didn't affect him. He was not influenced by the environment of Egypt, which was the worst, most negative environment to Torah and spirituality. And that appeased Yaakov. That appeased him. That's why they told him that. You can't read the last part that he was Moshe without the first part, Od Yosef Chai. So Chassam Sofer used this to don't make a mistake to think that Rav Yosef Chaim Zinsheim, the Divrei David, was not an Adam Gadol. He was a great Gadol B'Torah. He was a great person, even though he was in such a seemingly compromising position, but that position was to protect the Jewish people.
Okay. He uses the word Moshe, not Melech. Moshe means I'm overpowering.
Moshe himself. Good, 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 very good. So we're not going to go through this. I will tell you what you already know is that Rashi tells us, so he says, Vayidabro elav es kol divrei Yosef asher dibra alem vayaris ha'agalos asher shalach Yosef lases oso. He saw the wagons that Yosef sent. So Rashi says, siman maser b'shehaya osek. He sent him a hint. Yosef sent his father a hint with the wagons. This is a famous Rashi, and if you don't know, you should. It's a beautiful statement of the rabbis. Vayaris ha'agalot asher shalach Yosef. What does that mean? The last portion that Yaakov and Yosef were studying together in the Torah was the discussion of the Egla Arufa. Play on the word Agala, Egla, the Egla Arufa. When someone dies, that's the decapitated head of an animal, the Egel, that we chop off the head of the animal. That's a very strange ritual. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. That if we find a dead body, Rahman al-Itzlan, we don't know what city is responsible, it's equidistant to certain cities, so you measure the closest city, and the Bezdin, the rabbis of the city, the leaders of the city, have to go through this whole process of the Egla Rufa. This was the very esoteric Torah section that Yaakov and Yosef were studying when Yosef left and was taken captive in Egypt. So he sent a hint to his father, the Agals, he saw the Agals, he knew, so they're ahead. So Rabbi Alpert is busy, wants to understand, is what was unique about the Egla Rufa that put his mind at ease. So basically what he says, and I'll just put it in a few words, and not doing justice for what is really a beautiful essay here from Rabbi Alpert, but basically says that the Egla Rufa speaks to the moral position of Klal Yisrael, taking responsibility for the community and for all of Klal Yisrael. That the rabbis of the community, the Bezdin, and the leaders of the community, who certainly did not kill this person, but they had to assume responsibility for what took place. Something wrong happened, they had to stand up and make a statement about what happened and rectify right and right the wrong. That's what the Egla Rufa stood for. So by sending the Agals, he knew that Yosef had not lost his sense of right and wrong. His spiritual equilibrium was not unbalanced, and that Yosef was living the principles of Egla Rufa. Something that, unfortunately, with all the news today, that everyone is clamoring, you know, what's going on today in our Israeli society, and we want to hear from the leadership, the rabbinic leadership of the community, who certainly disagree with what's going on, and we have to hear from them, and we will hear from them. But that's really the Egel Arufa concept. The Egel Arufa concept is that even though I'm not responsible for this, but in a certain sense, I have to assume responsibility for injustice. So when Yaakov saw that Yosef sent the wagons, he knew that Yosef, his lifestyle had not changed, and his basic principles had not changed. He was living according to the Egel Arufa principles. Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Rabbi Kalimnik.
Yes, I would just like to add to that beautiful explanation, is that by sending the Agalot, in a way, it communicates to Yaakov that if there was guilt, that you did not escort me, and in your mind, I was Tarof Tarav Yosef, that I was killed, this is sort of the Agalot, it's like the Eglarub, the Kapara, to put your mind at ease.
The escorting.
Right,
very nice.
The whole
very nice.
Idea was that the city that this person left was responsible for the death of its individual.
Very nice.
So
very nice. Very nice. Very nice. If anyone wants to hear nice drushes like this every week, visit Rochester, Congregation Beth Shul, and you'll hear Rabbi Kalimnik.
Rabbi Tal's playing for the year.